Thank you, and may I again welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn your Bible with me again today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? And I imagine there might be some of you that are getting a little bit weary of the teaching pertaining to the hope of those that are saved and that die in the Lord. But I want to continue again this morning with this study, and probably this will be the last one along this line. My purpose in all this is to try to reach some people that have lost loved ones. There are all kinds of stories that are told unto me pertaining to this kind of thing. For instance, when an individual commits suicide, there is always a flock of people that look like they just convert. They just come right in on that individual that lost the loved one that committed suicide. And you know what the purpose of those people is? It's to come in there and try to convince that individual that their lost loved one has gone to hell. Why? Because they committed suicide. Well, what's that got to do with it? Because they didn't have an opportunity to repent and confess their sins and all the things that the people tell them about today. So therefore, they convinced them that since the individual committed suicide, they've got to be in hell because they killed themselves. You see, the people that do that, and there are a lot of fundamentalists that do that, those that do that do not honestly, absolutely, positively believe that the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary paid for all their sins. They don't believe that. If they believed that with all their heart, then they'd know that even though the individual took their own life, that was provided for with the death of Christ at Calvary. It is not that God Almighty intended for the individual to do that, but God knew it. We'll read in 1 Thessalonians in a moment. First, go back with me to the book of Job. Notice in Job chapter 14. In Job 14, before we read, I want to mention something to you. This past year, in May, my son took his own life. My son committed suicide. Well, since then, I've heard from a lot of people. The majority of them, that I'm talking about people who have had a child or a loved one that committed suicide. And the majority of them have been convinced by other people that the individual that committed suicide went to hell. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any scripture fact for what they're talking about. But nevertheless, old wives' fables, I guess, has gotten to them. And so they discuss things they know absolutely nothing about. Notice in Job chapter 14, and the context is about man in general, mankind. Verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bring me into judgment with thee? In other words, Job is basically talking about himself. Verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Job is basically saying, is there a possibility that the sinful creature that I am, that you could even tolerate me in a judgment hall to bring me in to judge me into the same place you are? I'm unclean. How are you going to judge me by bringing me to where you are in such uncleanliness? Then he says in verse 5, reference to the man now, the person, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He's not saying here that God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, decided the number of days that an individual would live. But he is saying that before the foundation of the world, God knew the days that an individual would live. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, the Bible is very clear that God Almighty chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So I'll say that right here represents the foundation of the world. Whatever that is, the foundation of the world is there. Well, before the foundation of the world, God Almighty knew everything. He knew the beginning from the end. He knew all things that would happen between, and nothing was hid from his eyes. In fact, it is almost as if God Almighty has a position up here, and that he looks both ways at the same time and knows everything that's going to be and everything that has been. And so before the foundation of the world then, God Almighty knew the exact number of your days. It isn't that God Almighty decided that you would have an exact number of days. It isn't that he sat down at a table with his Son and with the Holy Spirit and said, let's figure out this thing. How many days do we want to allot to so-and-so? And so one of them said, maybe, well, seeing that that person is not going to be too good a person, let's just cut his days shorter. That's a lot of bunk. No such thing happened. God Almighty, before the foundation of the world, knew the exact number of your days, giving you a free will. He didn't predestinate you to anything. God Almighty foreknew what you would do, and the predestination is determined upon that basis. Go with me, please. Hold on to Job there and go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 28, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, God then foreknew exactly when we would be born and when we would leave the world. God didn't predestinate that it was to be that way, but God foreknew that it would be that way, and then God predestinated that. If we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we would be conformed to the image of his Son. For instance, back here, God then looked forward and foreknew that you would be born at this particular day. He didn't determine that you'd be born there. He didn't decide that it would be that way. He didn't predestinate that it would be that way. He foreknew that it would be that way. Two people, based upon their own free will, came together in marriage and produced a child. God foreknew that that would take place. Now, he knew that this person right here, at a given point in time, would, through the gospel of Christ, look back to Calvary and say, well, Jesus Christ died for my sins on Calvary. Jesus Christ paid for my sins there. I'm trusting him as my Lord and Savior at that point. God foreknew that that person would trust Jesus Christ at that point. He didn't force them to do it. He didn't determine before the foundation of the world that they would do it, but he foreknew that they would do it. Now, since that person is foreknown by God, since God knew that this person right here would receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, believing that he died for their sins, God did predestinate that individual someday would be conformed to the image of his Son. As many as he did foreknow, he did predestinate. And as many as he did predestinate, he did call. As many as he called, he did justify. And as many as he did justify, he did glorify, and on and on and on. You know what I learned by that? I learned that if God Almighty foreknew before the foundation of the world, and he did, that you would be born, and he did, and if he knew that you would trust Christ as your Lord and Savior at this point, and he did, then he predestinated that someday you are going to be glorified and made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is so real in the mind and the heart of Almighty God that he sees it as a finished product. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God sees you already glorified, even though you're still trudging along, but God knows exactly the day that you will be glorified. So he sees it as having already been done because he's the doer. Now, back in Job again. In Job chapter 14, verse 5, seeing his days are determined. In other words, God, before the foundation of the world, looked down here and saw that you'd be born at this point. And he saw that providentially or whatever, that your life would end at this point, and he determined by counting. You know God can count. And so God Almighty determined by counting from here to here the number of your days, and knew before the foundation of the world the exact number of your days, and knew the exact means whereby you would get out of this world. Now, there isn't a problem with that, except to those who have determined already that they will not believe the Bible. So, my son, May the 3rd of last year, took a gun and killed himself. His days already were known by God. Counted up and determined. God knew that on this particular day over here, my son would take his life. God knew it before the foundation of the world. So, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary for my son, God already knew that my son was going to leave the world through taking his own life. So, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he died for all of my son's sins. Nothing left out. Every last sin that my son committed, God gave his son to die for him. Why? For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved, and raised us up together, A.D. 33, and made us sit together, A.D. 33, in Christ Jesus. It's a fact. Now, if your loved one committed suicide, and your loved one was saved, bless God, they're in heaven. They're not in hell. God cannot, will not lose a saved, Bible-believing saint that he justified at Calvary. If God justified you at Calvary, it's a done deal. It can't be undone. And yet people are always believing the world system rather than God himself. So, if you're saved, then God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son, and it will happen. Once you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, once you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's done. God knew that you would trust Christ at a given point. When Christ died, God justified you. If He knew that you would trust Christ, that is, if you would trust Christ, He knew you would. Based upon that knowledge, He delivered up His Son, put your sin upon His Son, gave Him to die for your sin, paid for your sin there, with the full knowledge that you would claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Now, you know what is baffling? There may be somebody listening to me right now, and you're one of those kind of people that you were in a church somewhere, like I was. And you don't want to talk about salvation. I was a member of a church that way that never talked about getting saved. I never heard anybody talk about getting saved. I heard a lot of people talk about joining the church. People say, I'm a Christian. I joined the church. I was baptized. But they don't want to discuss it any further than that. I bet you I'm talking to somebody right now, and you've lost a loved one. And you're not sure whether they're saved or not because you never asked them. You never sat down and talked to them because there was something about that that you just don't talk about. It's the greatest gift that has ever been known to a human being, and people don't want to discuss it. Isn't that ridiculous? You know why that is? Because the religious system of this world hath blinded the eyes of people so that they would believe not and eventually be damned by unbelief. The God of this world doesn't want you to know the truth. The God of this world wants you to believe that He is the Creator. His name is Lucifer. He's called the devil and Satan. And He wants you to believe that He's the Creator. He wants you to believe that He's your Savior. He has a system out there. It's the world religious system today. How do you get involved in that system? You get involved in it by believing whatever you believe. You get involved in it by believing that there are a lot of different roads to heaven. There are different roads, but they all go to the same place. The God of this world would not have you believe the truth under any circumstances. You know what's amazing to me? I have letters from people. I have one letter from a man that had been in the Baptist church more than 50 years and heard the gospel on this program and trusted Christ as his Savior. A woman 92 years of age, been in church for years and years and years, trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Another woman, 94 years old, trusted Christ as her Savior, but she'd been in the religious system for years and years. What in the world is going on? I can tell you what it is. There's something called the mystery of iniquity. It is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This mystery of iniquity is a church system. It's a religious system. It's a political religious system in this world that rules over the lives of people. It is not the church, the body of Christ. It is not made up of people that believe on Jesus Christ, trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. It is made up of people that are convinced that you have to work it out. You have to live it. You have to repent all the time. You have to repent every day. And you have to confess. And you have to do this. And you have to do that. And you have to go here. And you have to go there. And you're always doing something to get saved and then doing something to stay saved, rather than just simply trust the one and only Savior offered by the Lord Himself. Salvation is free. It's already been paid for. The wages of sin is death. Christ died that death. He paid that debt for the whole world. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, notice in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, it doesn't make any difference what color your skin is. It doesn't make any difference what moral character you have. When Christ died, he died for your sins. He died that all men might be saved. It isn't that God picked out a certain group of people before the foundation of the world and predestinated them to believe, and therefore they're going to have to believe whether they want to or not. He predestinated that they believe, and the rest of the world he predestinated they go to hell. That's just baloney. Never happened. Christ died for all men. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm testifying to you that there is a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. The salvation is by him dying for you on Calvary, paying for your sins with his death, shed his blood to redeem you from all iniquity. You trust him, all the work is finished. It's done. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Every preacher in the world today that's called of Almighty God has a job to do. His job is to show people this truth in verse 19. God was in Christ. What was he doing? He was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He imputed their trespasses unto the Lord. Then why do people go to hell? Because of unbelief. Why do people burn in hell? Because they will not believe on Jesus Christ. They'll walk the aisle and join the church. They'll get baptized. They'll claim to be keeping the law. But they won't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice the word God is spelled with a little g, And if your Bible capitalized it, you probably got the wrong Bible. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, God was in Christ. He reconciled the world unto himself. Didn't save them, reconciled them. In other words, he fixed a situation. He fixed things so that you do not have to go anywhere to get saved. You don't have to bow down, lay down, stand up, sit down, or do one single thing other than trust, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. Trust him. Put your confidence in the fact that he died for you on Calvary and was buried and rose again. Why will you families, why will you not talk this over? Someday, if the Lord tarries, you're going to die. Your family, they need to know whether you're saved or not. They know whether you joined the church. They know whether you got baptized. But they don't know your heart. Tell them. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do what God told you to do in Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess the Lord. Tell your people about the Lord. Show them that you're saved. Make them know that you're saved. Not having joined the church, not being baptized, but saved by the grace of God. Why? Someday when you die, some preacher then will know what you believe. And they can tell the truth about your salvation to the rest of the people and comfort the people that are in that room. We're going to continue with this next week. I said this would be the last one on this, but we'll continue with it next week, Lord willing. Until then, good day.